Us about the power of representatives or power of representation, because as God's children, it's very, very important for us to have understanding. Over the years, as we share, one of the things I've always tried to emphasize is the importance of us coming into a place of understanding. I've come to realize that many times it's not the fact that people do not love God, it's the fact that they do not have understanding. So most of the time, the lack of understanding of the things of God and the reason why they have to do what they need to do is the reason why they are not responding the way they are supposed to respond. So let me do one practical. I think I've done that before, but let's do a little practical just to show you the power of understanding. So mo fe ko dide ko soruko e fun mi ah o dawun ni alami ororo ma ni mi mo ni mo ko dide ko soruko e fun mi okay mo fe ko dide ko to obo mi lapo gbogbo owo to wa nbe mo fun e owo to wa lapo mi ma po gan now is he a Christian? Does he respect men of God? But why is he not responding to what I'm saying? Now listen, is he hearing what I'm saying? He's hearing, but he's not responding. Why? He doesn't understand. So what I said, they stand up, tell me your name, and then put your hands in my pocket, and every money in my pocket I give you. So when he did not respond, I told him that I have so much money in my pocket that if you just put your hand in there, plenty money will come out. And he did not respond. But now, in my pocket, I have plenty money. In fact, a bundle. But he did not stand up, he did not respond. Not because he did not need money, but because he did not understand. So many of you have been in church for years, and you have never responded in obedience to the instructions of Scripture. Not because you don't love God. Not because you don't respect God or honor men of God. But because you don't understand. So your lack of understanding is what is hindering you from responding appropriately. Because whatever you don't obey, you don't understand. Because when you understand, the Bible says, His commandments are not grievous. Every instruction, every commandment of God is for your blessing and for your benefit. So whenever you don't respond, it's because you lack understanding. Once you have understanding, obedience becomes easy. Responding to the plan and the purpose of God becomes easy. And that's why, while I appreciate the place of preaching, preaching is good. It inspires. It motivates. I'm more concerned about teaching. Because teaching educates, teaching informs, teaching matures, teaching disciples. So instead of us jumping and screaming and shouting without understanding yet remaining the same, it's very important for us to spend time to have understanding of what we need to do and why we need to do so that we can do it with faith and not by religion. That's why the Bible talks about precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there. Why? So that you can have full understanding of the different dimensions of Scripture. So this morning, we want to look at the power of representatives or the power of representation, so that you will understand why we do what we do. Because today, the level of confusion in the church has increased as a result of many voices confusing people from the voice of God. Now you see, when we were growing up, the only source of revelation that you have was you and God or your pastor. So the only way you will hear Bible is either you hear God by yourself or you go to church and hear your pastor. But today, every Sunday, people now go to at least 5 churches on Sunday. Some of you have listened to message before you got here. Hello? Now, before I came here this morning, I have been in 2 services already. Hello? I was already watching our own first service in Nigeria. And then I was watching, that when they came to pick me up. When I entered the car, there was another service going on. The man was so good. I asked you, what's the name of the man? And he told me the name. I said, I love his voice. It's good. He has good, you know. So I was listening to another message inside the car before coming. So today, I've already been to two services. This third service. So you find out that many of us, between morning and evening, every week, you are in Australia, you are in America, you are in South Africa, you are in Chicago. You listen to so many voices and then you are confused. Why? Because you are not developing your personal relationship and your personal walk with God to be able to have enough of understanding of the Spirit of God and the things of God to be able to rightly discern everything that you hear and rightly position everything that you hear to know how each of the things you hear fit into the puzzle of your kingdom journey. Hello. So let's look at the power of representation and see some things. Are you sure you are ready? Okay. Romans chapter 5. I wanted to write down verse 12 to 21, but because of time, I will just deal with verse 12. Romans chapter 5, from verse 12 to 21, but I will just deal with verse 12. Verse 12 says, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed unto all men, for all have sinned. Please listen, listen. Who sinned? One man. How can all sin when one man sinned? He says, wherefore, by one man's disobedience, only one person disobeyed. Many were made sinner by one man's disobedience. So by wherefore by one man's sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Power of what? Representation. So when Adam sinned, we all sinned. When Adam fell, we all fell. So when Adam was doing what he was doing, he was not doing it for himself. He was representing all of us. When you understand the power of representation, you will realize that that error in your life is programming your lineage for error. You will realize that that act of obedience in your life is programming your lineage for blessing. So when we keep talking of generational curses, let's start talking of generational blessings. Because the same way you can activate the negative and it affects your lineage is the same way you can activate the positive. And for your sake, all those that come out of you will be blessed. So by one man's sin, everybody entered trouble. Let's look at the other one. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 to 26. For by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. Oh, sorry, see Romans. This verse 19 now. Thank you, Jesus. I want to show you from other translation. So, as for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. So, by one man's disobedience, what happened to everybody? Everybody became sinners. But by one man's what? Obedience, what happened to everybody? Everybody also became what? Righteous. So, one man represented us. He sinned, we all sinned. He disobeyed, we all disobeyed. Another man, Jesus, came, represented us. He obeyed, we all obeyed. And we became beneficiaries of his obedience, representations. My God. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. And we go from there. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Next. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became what? The first fruit of them that slept. Next verse. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So Jesus represented us as first fruit. And then when Jesus represented us, everything that Adam brought on us was canceled by Christ. One man, representation. Now, because once you understand the power of representation in different areas, you will now see how it affects your first fruit. So let's take it step by step. So let's go. So number one, when it comes to our fall, one man's sin brought us into sin. When it comes to our salvation, one man's obedience brought us into redemption. So when you talk about the power of representation, it is the reason why man fell, and it is the reason why man is redeemed. Representation. Let's go to battles. 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 1 down. But because of time, let's read verse 8 to 11. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll just read verse 8 to 11. And he stood, talking about Goliath, and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them. Now, only one man stood, his name was Goliath, and he's talking to the entire nation. And he said, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I, only me, I, a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? So, I'm the only one here. My name is Goliath. All of you, a whole nation, you're on the other side. And I'm telling you, is it not me alone that is just a Philistine? And all of you, you're on the other side. And look at what he said next. Thank you, Jesus. Choose you a man for you. The way I am standing as one man, representing the entire Philistine nation, you too, choose one man for you. Choose one man that will represent every one of you. And let him, that's one man, come down to me, one man, if he, one man, be able to fight with me, one man, and to kill me, one man, then will we, all of us, be your servants. So just bring one person. If that one person defeats me, one person, all of us will bow and serve you. One representing all. But if I, one man, prevail against him, one man, and kill him, one man, then shall you, all of you, be our servant and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. In an entire nation, they couldn't find one man to represent them. If you now continue, the Bible says, and David was sent to take food to his brothers. And while he was there, he heard this discussion. He said, what's happening here? One man. What's he like? Go, excuse me, sir, I can go. What are they doing? Who is this guy? When the lion came, I dealt with it. When the bear came, who is this uncircumcised? I will finish him. They say, you are not a warrior. It's not about warrior. It's about obedience. It's not about your certification. It's not about your degree. It's about your level of obedience and compliance. And we all know that David, one man, defeated Goliath, one man, and the entire Philistines bow. Power of representation. Now let's go to your money now. Let's go to your money now. Because many of you, this first fruit thing is just understanding that you lack. Because you think that it's religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with your creator. We are not part of a religious body. We are part of a kingdom. We are kingdom citizens. And when you begin to think from kingdom perspective, most of what you are arguing about, you will never argue about it anymore. So let's go to our finances. Romans 11:16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the roots be holy, so are the branches. What's this saying? If you bring the first to me in honor, that first you are bringing represents everything that will ever come. And once you bring the first to honor me, you have taken care of every other thing. In case you don't understand King James, let's go to Amplified so that I can give you more clarity. Romans 11:16 from the Amplified Bible. Now, if the handful of dough offered as first fruits, he now puts in brackets Abraham and the patriarch. So if you are bringing that resources, the handful of dough, so physically you are bringing the dough, but spiritually he's saying that it represented something else. So every time you are bringing money, now I hope you know that when you go to work, you don't give your office money. You give them your time. You give them your energy. You give them your skill. You give them everything. You are shedding blood. At the end of the month, what do they give to you? They give you money. That money they are giving to you is to save for the time, the energy, the skills, and all the labor, the traffic, the waking up early, all the office politics, all the things you have had to endure. This is what we are giving to you to represent a reward, a compensation for all that you have gone through. So when you are now bringing the tithe of that money, or you are bringing that money to God, you are not bringing money to God. You are bringing your sweat. You are bringing your skill. You are bringing your expertise. You are coming back to God to say, God, the strength you gave me, the life you gave me, the energy you gave me, everything you gave me, now this is the reward they gave me for what you gave me. I am now bringing this to you to say, I acknowledge that it was you, not me. So it is not money. It is not money. When you look through Bible, you see a lot of things. There was a day that David was just sitting down and he just expressed a desire. Oh, that I can drink water from the well. And people went, risked their life to go and bring water in the well he was talking about was in the midst of enemy territory, in the midst of a battle. These guys risked their life, went to bring the water. By the time they brought the water to David, he said, I can never drink this. He said, this is not water, this is blood. This is life of people, risk to bring this. He said, instead of drinking it, I will offer it to God as a sacrifice. Many of you is understanding you lack. Let me tell you something. Many of the money you are looking for, many of the things you are praying for, there are some of us that God has blessed. We can give you $100,000 now and nothing will happen. We can just say, okay, take. Why are we not giving you? You have not done something that will make God to speak to us to give you. So you continue to pray and labor. Many of the things you are laboring for, looking for, there are people, I hope you know, there are people that take side chick to Dubai for weekend in private jet just to go and spend 2 days with somebody that is no side chick and side cock. They just carry a side chick for 2 days and then they buy brand new cars for side chick that is 300 level in university. And you that have been working for 15 years, you have not seen 10% of that money. Listen to me. All the things you are looking for, I hope you know that every money, every car, every blessing you are looking for, it's not coming from heaven. It's already existing here on earth. Why is it not locating you? Because you are not rightly positioned in the place of obedience. Because you are thinking that it is by your power, it is by your might that you will accumulate wealth. No, it does not work like that. You see, in this kingdom, kingdom wealth is not acquired. Kingdom wealth is entrusted. God must trust you to entrust wealth to you. So it's not by greed. The Bible says, in vain do they wake up early in the morning and they come back late at night to come and eat the bread of sorrow. So look at it. Now, if the first handful of dough offered as first fruit, Abraham and the patriarch is consecrated holy, so is the whole mass, the nation of Israel. The whole mass. So every time you bring the portion that belongs to God, That portion is representing the whole. That portion is representing the whole. And if the roots, Abraham is consecrated only, so are the branches. So one area where many believers lack understanding is this first fruit thing. They just don't understand this. Like, they are just confused. You mean I'll just bring everything to God? And I keep wondering, is it not somebody that is alive that is arguing? No, because think about it. In the law of priority, which one is greater priority? The life that produces the wealth or the result of the life that was given? The life. A man one day, I think you see a story in Luke chapter 12. He became so deceived. He said, you know what? I've made so much money. You know, I'm doing well. In fact, the income is so great. All the prostitutes are doing well. All the conglomerates are producing. You know, we need to increase our warehouses. And we need to open up new branches. I will open new branches. I will come up with new products. I will enter new markets. I will increase the market share. We're going to increase. And it was just, I. And then the Bible says in the night, God appeared to him and said, oh, how are you, foolish man? I don't have a problem with all your plans, but you see, that life, I gave it to you. So all I want, give me my life. Then you can continue your planning and opening your way. You can continue that. In the night, God said, you foolish man. Because the man did not understand that it was because he is alive that all those things were happening. And listen to me. Are you ready for this? This is not scare tactics. If you don't learn by revelation, you will learn by experience. If you refuse to learn by revelation, you learn. Go and study the life of atheists. Over 93% of atheists change their mind on their deathbed. 93%. Go and do your research. Everybody that said there is no God, there is no God. When they finally get to the gate of hell, and they are seeing hell like this, and life is slipping out of them, they will call Jesus. Have you ever been in a plane with turbulence or in a car with accident and you heard anybody mention the name of Muhammad or mention Buddha or mention Krishna? No. Everybody at the end of the day, when the chips are down, when the rubber meets the road, Jesus, Jesus, even Muslim, Jesus, Jesus. Why did you say Muhammad, Muhammad, Allah, Allah? You should have hallowed Allah. Or say Krishna, Krishna, Buddha, 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 Buddha. No, everybody including pagan, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because they know the power in the name. They know that there is no name given among men except the name Jesus, by which man can be saved. They know that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. They know that the name of Jesus is above every other name. Sickness, bow before that name. Disease, bow before that name. Sin, bow before that name. Poverty, bow before that name. Bondage, bow before that name. Somebody shout Jesus!
Representation.
So people of God, please wake up and wise up. All your life, think about it. Because I like speaking to the mind and the spirit of people. Because you think you're very wise. So think about it to see how wise you are. All the tithes you have refused to pay for the past 20 years, where is it? No, you know you are so wise. So I can pay 10%. No, I've got bills to pay. I've got a lot of needs. So you are still in need. All the first fruit you refuse to pay. Where is your mansion? Where is your Bentley? Where is your Rolls Royce? Where is your private jet? For you to be able to convince us that we are foolish and you are wise, you should be able to show us the fruit of your foolishness. To say, look at all you people that are paying tithes. See, I have built 50 houses with my tithes. You people are still landlord. You are still tenant. I have a Bentley. You are still poor. No, are you not supposed to think about this and say, come. All this disobedience. I'm still here. Is it not time to try obedience? No, think about it. All the tithes you didn't pay, where is it? If you can show me accumulation of all the tithes in a foreign account in pounds or dollars. Ah, look at all my tithes. Then I'll say, hey, maybe we should consider your ways, oh. But you are still poor. You are still struggling. Why? Because in this kingdom, kingdom wealth is entrusted. You don't acquire wealth in this kingdom. God looks at you and then he entrusts you with it. When you see any rich man in this kingdom, we are not proud, we are not arrogant, because we know that it's not by our hard work, it's not by our intelligence, it is grace and mercy at work. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And we have compassion on whom I will have compassion. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not for the wise. Rich is not for men of understanding, but time and chance happens to them all. It's all about being in the right place at the right time. So we acknowledge that it's God. Because there are things we do. When we see the result, even we ourselves will say, what did I do that produced this? The songwriter said, you make the little things I do be like saying a big thing. Oh, your grace makes the difference. Just they embarrass me. Oh, I like it. Oh. He said, your grace makes it. You make little things I do look so big. He said, your grace makes the difference. It is grace that delivers you from disgrace. It is grace that empowers you for the race. When you don't understand that it is grace, you will end up in disgrace. When you don't connect to grace, you will not be empowered for the race. You will struggle in the race. So listen to me, people of God. The power of representation. So let's look at a few things about the first fruit, just to give you clarity. And then we close. Second service, we'll do something else. So let's look at a few scriptures. First fruit, mentioned in the Bible 32 times. Tithe, mentioned in the Bible 32 times. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Please keep it there. We're going to look at that from Message and Amplified. Now, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance. So, all the substance, you honor God with it. And a conjunction with the first fruit. To separate that this substance I'm talking about is different from first fruit. And the first fruit is what? Of all your increase. Not first fruit of some. All. Look at it from another translation, please. Just give me another translation. Honor God with what? With everything you own. So everything belongs to God. You can't be arguing. No, let's go back. We'll still stay there and come back to this one later. Go back to that one. Honor the Lord with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Everything you own, honor God with it. Your life, your energy, your family, your marriage, everything, honor God with it. So it's not just about money. Everything, you honor God with it. Man of God, you know, some things are so amazing. I'm coming back here. People will come to church and say, Pastor, we have bought a car. We want to dedicate our car to God. Like we did baby dedication now. We want to dedicate our car to God. You now dedicated the car to God. Meaning that God, you are in charge. Church is now having a convention. We now announce, church, we have so many guests coming from out of state. We need 12 SUVs to be able to convey the guests. So if you have an SUV in good condition, we'd like you to please bring it to the church so that we'll use it for the 1 week. You can bring it with a driver if you have a driver. If you don't have a driver, we have protocol officers that are certified that can drive the car. Bring the car and then you sit down there. What do they mean? How can I give my car to church for 1 week? How do they expect me to survive? How do they expect me to move around during the week? Can I come and drop my car? My car. My car. You dedicated it to God, but now it's my car. To God. Before you bought the car, how were you moving around? When armed robber takes the car away, how will you move? When accident takes the car, how will you move? It is lack of understanding. It's because you are alive that say, my car, my car. I hope you know that when they are carrying coffin, it's car that carries coffin. My car, my car, my car. Hello? Are you getting understanding now? So he's honored God with everything, not just money, your car, your house. We have seen baby dedication now. I hope you know that it is still Christian parents that will go and be buying examination for their children and paying lecturers for their children to corrupt exam. Children you dedicated on the altar, you are now involved in special center and exam malpractice for the same child. It is still Christian parents that do this nonsense. Man of God, a couple came to the office and they said, "We just want to officially inform you that we have disowned our son." I said, "Disowned? How?" They said, "This boy collected money from us for 4 years that he was in university. And even came 6 months ago to collect money that is going for youth service. We have just discovered now that our son is not in school. And we borrowed money, sold land, sold property. So 6 years is wasted." The man looked up and said, "Pastor, I came to honor you just to let you know so that in case you will hear it from my mouth, he is no more my son. Because we now know that he's involved in Yahoo, Yahoo, and all kinds of stuff. He's no more my son." The woman was just crying. I said, "No problem." I said, "Just bring him. Let me sit with him and we'll see what we can do. I know what you're going through. I understand years of labor with expectation." I encouraged them. So they brought the boy. When they brought the boy, they were all sitting. I said, no. I said, "It's me and him that we discuss. You guys don't worry. Go to the reception." So I looked at the boy. I said, "My guy." Because we understand the language. So I was not, I said, "My guy, what's happened now? What's up? You see, as your papa just did, para. You know, what's going to happen now?" So I went down to his level. Say, "My pastor, you understand." So we began to discuss. He said he actually went to school year one, but when he got into school, he was mixed with some crowd, and then they went into all this Yahoo, Yahoo stuff. And so that's why he started pursuing. He told me all kinds of terrible things they have done. Then at the end of the day, he said, "Pastor, but I don't understand." He said, "Even the people I train in Yahoo, Yahoo, they have bought houses, they have bought cars." He said, "But it's not working for me. See, it's not working. Everything is not working." I said, "You don't understand. It's altar versus altar." I say, "It cannot work because you were dedicated to God on this altar." I said, "So every time you try to do something else, this altar will fight every other altar." I said, "Those people that it is working for, they were dedicated to the devil. So the devil is, I say, you, it won't work for you. It won't work. Because there is an altar of God speaking for you." I say, "You don't know. You see, in this kingdom, God said, I will not let you go until I have accomplished what I propose to do in your life. So if you lie, waka, 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 you are returning here." The Bible says, raise up a child in the way he should go when he grows up. I said, what is happening now is, they raised you well. You went to school. You now think you are a big boy. But he said, when he grow up, you will not depart. So you can't depart. It is the power to depart not that is working against you. You cannot depart. Hello? I hope you are getting it now. So let's go there now. He said, everything. Honor the Lord with everything and give him the first and the best. Now look, go to that next one now. And then we'll just move. Just a few more scriptures. All I want to do is this one. Just let you know representation is powerful. He says, honor the Lord with your capital. And sufficiency from what? From what? Are you not reading it? Let's see. Put it there. From what? No. It's not showing here. Show it here. They need to. Okay, let's read it. Thank you. Honor the Lord with what? Capital and sufficiency from what? From what? That's why I don't hug you anymore. Some people cannot bring first fruit because the source is not righteous. Listen, sir. Many of them are sitting out here. They are runs girls. They are professional prostitutes. They come to church looking like normal people. They are not normal. They are here. I can start picking you up prophetically now. They are here. They are the side chicks destroying homes. They are here. Many of them are the side cock messing up, doing gigolo for married women. They are here. There are fraudulent people here, 419 people, fraudulent people, politicians that are liars and deceivers, stealing people's destiny, putting it in their pocket. They are here. They can't bring it. It's not for righteous labor. They are afraid that if they bring it, judgment may fall. They are smugglers, contraband. They can't bring it. Hello? That is why if we don't teach people to be holy and righteous, it's a cycle. Because if they are not holy, they are not righteous, they won't bring it. Instead of bringing it, they will go and look for a prophet somewhere, an abali somewhere, and all these sorcerers, and give it so that those people can do divination for them, like Balaam. Yeah. Look, let me tell you something. Go and do research what I'm telling you. Fake prophets are making money every day. Because you people are genuine, they won't bring it because they know you will ask questions. They know. If Solo suddenly wake up tomorrow now, Solo, and say, I know, Papa, I just want to bless you, sir, and give you $100,000. You say, ah, Solo, come, sit down. So where did you see the money? You'll be suspicious. Not because you don't believe God can, but you want to be sure that my son has not derailed. But those prophets will not ask that question. So the reason why many people will not bring it is not from righteous labor. And they know that in this place, we don't condone unrighteousness. Hello? And with the first fruit of all your income. Let me just do two more. Let's go to Genesis 4. Give me three more scriptures to show representation. Genesis 4 from verse 1 to 6. Cain and Abel brought their offering. So, move on to verse 2 because of time. So, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, listen. The reason why God told us about their occupation was because their occupation was vital for the revelation. He said, this guy is a keeper of sheep. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You know, God was the first one to shed blood and cover them. He said, but the other one is a tiller of the ground, the cursed ground. So when he grew up, he decided to labor in a cursed place. And God said he chose the wrong occupation, which already shows you that his heart is crooked and tended towards disobedience. Now, look at the next verse. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. So he also brought. Next. And Abel brought of what? Firstborn of his flock. You see the difference? Cain brought from a cursed ground. He just brought and they just go and drop something. But Abel brought first fruits. And of the fat portion. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and his offering. Next verse. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed. Cain brought, Abel brought. But when Cain was bringing, he's from unrighteous. Now, the question I want to ask you, because these are the issues I have with church and with Christians. Now, who was Cain and Abel's pastor? Which church did they go to? Who taught them first fruits? Read your Bible very well. They didn't have pastors. There was no church. They had a personal relationship with God, where God was able to speak to them by himself. Because when Cain was angry, who spoke to him? Not his father, not his mother, God. He had a relationship with God by himself. And God said, Cain, why are you angry? You know the truth now. You know if you do what is right, I will do what is right. You know what you are doing. You know and I know. Both of us know. God was talking to him. The problem with us today is we have relationship with churches. We have relationship with pastors. We don't have relationship with God. That is why you are confused, because this pastor will talk you on, this one will talk you on, and you are confused. But if you have a relationship with God, no matter who the pastor is, you will scan them with scriptures. You will scan them with scripture. He says the Berean Christians were more honorable than others because everything that Apostle Paul said, they didn't look at his title, they check him out. Who taught Abraham to tithe? All this argument about tithe is because you don't know God. Nobody that knows God argues with giving. Is nobody, because your salvation was based on sacrifice. Somebody shed his blood. Who was Abraham's pastor? Who preached tithing to him? Nobody. He heard by himself. Hello? Listen. Go and read your Bible very well. When Joseph found himself in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife wanted him, in the 21st century, is a breakthrough. The Bible says that everything that everything was with Joseph. That Potiphar did not even know what he had. Anything Joseph tells him, this is the balance in your account, this is the balance in your crypto wallet, that's all he knew. The only thing that he kept from Joseph was the wife, and the wife now wanted him. What do you do when what you are not supposed to have wants you? You know, many of you are so holy, you will never go after another woman. That's the end of your righteousness. You are righteous to the level of not going after another woman, but you don't have the righteousness to say no if a woman is after you. No. There are many good people that has fallen because they did not understand how to go to the next level of righteousness. Their righteousness is, no, I love my wife, I can never go after any woman. And as long as no woman is coming after them, they are good. The day a woman sets her eye on them, their righteousness says, you will now see a good man fall. And you wonder why he didn't have the next level, how to say no. That's why, man of God, you see all these people that say, I'm a man of God, I want to prosper, I want God to take me global. You better stay looker. Because if in Africa, where women are, look at here now, look at everybody now, looking normal, no breast is showing. Do you see no breast? Look at all the, no breast. Can you see breast? No breast. And you are lusting. After work, you now want to go to America or London. We're inside train. It's ordinary bra. And they are kissing inside train. where America, where they say breast is not breast. It is nipple that is breast. Where they will carry everything like that and they will sit in front row. And you are supposed to be preaching. You will pass lie. You will die. You go to hell. So, some of the breakthroughs you are looking for, God is dealing with you to mature you first so that you will not die in that breakthrough. I hope you know that prostitution is not illegal in many countries. There are countries you go to where you are going. Prostitutes, go to Holland, go to Amsterdam. You see a whole prostitute. They are inside like these glasses with ordinary pants and bra. And they are doing like that. On the street, to left and right, and you have to drive through the streets to go to where you are going to. That's what will confirm your salvation. There are countries you go to where prostitutes will solicit you, and you cannot insult them. To insult them is illegal. You have to even be begging us, okay, you know what, babe, you're good, you're beautiful, but you know, I'm so busy right now. Give me your card. I'm going to get back to you later. You have to apply wisdom. Because you can't say no. Get out of here. You prostitute. No, you're in trouble. There are places you go to where they will now, when you resume, enter the room. After you enter the hotel room, they will now call you. Say, hello, are you settled down? We'd just like you to know there's an album. There's an album by the bed. Just go through it. If you need any entertainment, just let us know which of the numbers, and then we'll make that available to you. You understand? massage with happy ending.
He knows the deal. He know. Not, you see, when you want to be a man, you want to try, you better sit down local and be doing mission.
By the time you open the album, there's African session, Asian session, Caucasian session. Sometimes you will need to call your wife in the middle of the night. By 3 and say, babe, just be talking to me till I sleep. Because be talking to me till I sleep. So who was their pastor? Do you know? Read your Bible. I'm going somewhere. There was no law against adultery. No law. No law. Read your Bible. But Joseph said, I will not do this great wickedness. Oh, sorry, Joseph. That's not scriptural. There is nowhere it is written that it is wickedness to sleep with another man's wife. It's not written. There's no scripture like that. As at then. There was no law. He said, I will not do this great wickedness. No, Joseph. No, that's not scriptural. Where did you get that from? And sin against my God. Oh, no, Joseph. No, that's not a sin. There is nowhere it's written in the Bible that when you sleep with another man's wife, it's a sin. It's not scriptural. What Joseph was saying at that point was not scriptural, but it was relational. Where did Joseph get it from? He had a personal relationship with God where he knew that this was wickedness. When we say adultery, adultery is to adulterate. You know what it means to adulterate? If there is a bottle of juice, you now drink half of the juice and pour water to fill it up so that the owner of the juice will think that it is still the same. You have committed adultery. That's adulteration. You have diluted it. So when you sleep with another man's wife or husband and you return them to their spouse as if they are still intact, the man will be going into the website thinking it is the same, not knowing that somebody else has diluted you. Hello? So where did Joseph get it from? He said, I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against my God. Why? There was a law at work in him. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody deceive you. We are not under the law. We are not under the law. All this scripture we are quoting now, we have not even got into law. The law came through Moses. Moses was not in Genesis. Grace came. So there was no law here, but there was a law. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, I will write the law in their hearts. So, listen to me. In this kingdom, you cannot be lawless. Everybody is under the law. The question is, which law? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law, it's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. So, I present to you this morning the law of representative. That if you can obey the law of first fruit, it will represent every income that God wants to bring this year. And if you honor him today, all your income this year is taken care of. And there shall be no loss. Rise up on your feet. Lift up your hands to heaven and thank him. Lift up your hands and just thank him. Lift up your hands and thank him.